Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
If I were to define the two greatest characteristics of leadership, to me, one is compassion, the other is courage.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about fear. This message was recorded at a college chapel service in 2009. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, fear.
2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to address this topic of fear. I think the whole idea of fear is tied in with our view of God. And where there is a godly fear, it's tied in with our view of God. But I want to address the type of fear that Paul was addressing in the life of Timothy. And that type of fear, God uses the words of Paul to Timothy's heart and say, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. And when we look at how do we live, God's word dispels fear and it develops faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And many of you are going to be graduating this year, moving on to another phase of your life. Some of you are not graduating, but you are going into another culture this summer. You are going overseas into another culture. And there may be those nagging fears, the anxieties that would come, and not only on your part, but on the part of your family members. Maybe your mom and dad might be afraid, you know, where is our daughter going? Where is our son going? And is it going to be safe? But what about the diseases on the planes? And what about all of these type of things that the hearts of concerned parents would reflect? But I want to address you as a student. You go from here, maybe you're going into seminary, or maybe you're going on to a mission field. You are going to begin raising support. Some of you have already finished your master's and will be going on to an actual ministry. How do we approach these things? And Paul is reminding Timothy, his son in the ministry. And I do think that Timothy's natural fears were probably anchored in an immature view of God at this point. Even though he knew he was saved because he was reminded of his conversion and he was reminded of his calling. He had a tremendous heritage, but Timothy's dad was not saved. And we get that view of God primarily from the father. And his father was obviously a very charactered Roman soldier. I don't know that Timothy ever got a proper view of his God from that. And Paul had to keep reminding, that's only my opinion. That's no exposition of a passage on that, but it's just my opinion that Timothy always was timid. He was afraid. He had to be constantly encouraged and uplifted as he was going on in ministry. Some of you may have that type of a background from an adopted home. Maybe you were, you're a foster child, or maybe you were actually rejected by your father. No, Paul begins reading in verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefather with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So interesting that the reality of Timothy's faith was pointed out, the roots of his faith pointed out, and the reinforcement of his faith was pointed out there in verse 5. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us. There he is reminded of his conversion and called us of his calling, with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now we will look at this, and Paul is telling Timothy, you have no reason to be living in fear. God did not give that to you. Remember, God's Spirit is in you. Remember, God's Son redeemed you. And remember, God's servant, Paul, is a pattern to you. And let's get into this ministry. Now, when he says, I remind you to stir up the gift, that is the gifts that were given, these graces, and these graces were particular enablings that God gave. When God calls you to a task, he will also give you the enabling for that. Flip quickly back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And this is another reminder that we have this placement of God. And we see the grace of God at work in your calling. And Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. There we see enabling grace. For that he counted me faithful. That's entrusting grace, putting me into the ministry. That's employing grace. So Paul says, I thank our Lord Jesus Christ, who has enabled, who has entrusted, and who has employed, giving us this work. So what a secure position that is. If we were to ask you to give your testimonies of how you ended up here, they would be varied. Some would be very distinct of God's placement here. Some of you were counseled by parents and help, but you were put into this circumstance and you have picked up the passion and the burden for ministry. Well, God is the enabler, God is the entruster, and God is the employer. What a secure spot that is to be. There's no layoff there in that ministry. And so we find that the graces, the particular enablings, and I do believe that people have God-given gifts. And I am of one who believes that the Romans chapter 12, the motivation gifts were given. I agree with those who teach along that line that the seven motivation gifts are given in Romans chapter 12. The ministry gifts are given in Ephesians 4, and the manifestation gifts are given in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are those who teach there are no gifts. Well, just because they don't have one doesn't mean you don't have one. That's how I answer that. I'm not sure that's so biblical in response, but well, it's very evident that God has given these gifts for the ministry, for the calling of the ministry. So he says, stir up the gift of God that was in you. In other words, the laying on of hands, the part giving of grace. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, the gift there is singular, which helps me in my mind. Let's look quickly at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. There is a singular there, which helps me in my mind agree with the fact that each one has a singular drive with many different manifestations. Paul is addressing the believers to use hospitality to one another without grudging. In verse 10, as every man has received the gift, okay, that's singular, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There again is the follow-up that this gift is a grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But Peter is saying, has every one of you ever received the gift? And I think it's beyond salvation grace. I believe that is serving grace that is giving, that it be ministered according to God's perfect plan and God's perfect will. Now, the product of this unfeigned faith was faithful service. We'll look there again in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That's the reality, that is Timothy's faith was real. It was not phony. It was not a pretense. It was not some decision that was made apart from repentance where there was no salvation. It was an unfeigned faith, which was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. So it goes back into the roots of that salvation, of that faith. And I am persuaded in thee also. Paul is saying in Timothy, I am convinced that it is in you also. I'm not sure whether Timothy doubted this faith at times, whether he wondered, was this real? I do know people who are insecure have a very difficult time getting assurance that they are loved perfectly, and they have this nagging fear that they're going to die and find out that they were never really saved. And it's not a matter of them working the way to heaven. It's just, can I really trust God that way? And so then he goes on, and this is going to be the crux of my message, and I will close. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. On the one part, he did not give us this type of a nagging fear. He has not given me this timidity, weak, cowardly character, is that word, dalia. And he said, God hasn't given you, Timothy, a weak and cowardly character. If I were to define the two greatest characteristics of leadership, and I'm taking the pattern of Old Testament and New Testament, to me, one is compassion, the other is courage. If I were to summarize the two greatest characteristics of a spiritual leader, one would be a driving compassion, and the other would be a very God-centered courage. When you look at Joshua, you look at Hezekiah, you look at Asa, Jehoshaphat in their earlier days, you look at those who made God their singular focus, and they walked in complete obedience, and they were always encouraged to have courage when they made their steps of faith. Some of you are going to be in positions where you will be carrying a lot of the load. You will be the decision maker. You will not be the one underneath who is receiving the benefits of someone making decisions. You will become that decision maker. And it takes a lot of courage to make some steps and some decisions in a position of leadership. It's easy for somebody underneath who says, hey, we'll just, boy, I wonder why they did that. Why did they do that? Why were they thinking there? Well, when you're in the top box on that flow chart and you're making those kind of decisions, you have to know compassionately, then courageously, that you are making that decision in the right way. Those of you who had made steps to go overseas this summer, of a compassion for the Lord and for the lost, and a courage that it takes. If you never take a step, you never trip. But you never go anywhere either. And if all you ever do is keep things safe, I'm not going to do anything that does not appear to be safe, then you're not really going to get far from your driveway. And you will be very limited in what God could do through you. And God is never responsible for cowardice. Never. If there's cowardice, God has not authored that cowardice. When you study, just for your own personal study, study Hezekiah and the two passages, 2 Kings 19 and 2 Chronicles 32, and you have two different accounts of the situation of Hezekiah. And Sennacherib came with threats. And Isaiah the prophet came. and said, Hezekiah, be not afraid. Now Sennacherib was coming with some bold assertions. Don't you let Hezekiah talk you into trusting in his God. There is no God ever has been able to stand against us. No God has ever stood against me. And don't you let your leader think that you are going to escape my judgment. And then he writes this threatening letter. And Hezekiah takes it and lays it out before the Lord. I just finished studying through the life of Hezekiah in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Every time a situation came up, he went to prayer. Every time. And God says, go and tell Hezekiah, I have seen your prayers, your tears, and I've heard your prayers, and I will answer. We saw about the extended life. We saw the protection against Sennacherib, those great threats. And we have threats today. The United States of America, those of you who are going into pastorates in the United States of America, we are now on the verge with all of the legislation that is being passed that you make any statement that is not perceived as politically correct in your pulpit, that you can look very, very certainly at potential imprisonment. I'm talking now the United States of America. What are you going to do? How are you going to address some issues? Well, I'm not going to say much. I'll skirt the, you have to preach the whole council. And now you're preaching through Romans chapter 1. And it's a God has condemned, God has condemned, and just hope that cameras are not there. Or are you going to say, this is what the Bible says, this is God's truth, and let the consequences come? Not that you're flying in the face of anything, you're preaching God's absolute truth. And when Asa and Jehoshaphat got older and they got fearful, what happened? They came under God's judgment because they said, no, we've got to make alliances now. The prophet came along and said, Asa, did not God show himself mighty against the Lubims, and did he not show himself mighty against these? Why now are you forming these unholy alliances? Then the next two chapters, we find Jehoshaphat doing the very same thing. He aligned himself against the northern kingdom. And the next chapter, he allied himself with. Why? Fear came in. And thinking, hey, I've got to start making my own plans to protect myself. You go with a confidence. You walk with a confidence. And you know what? There are consequences. But not that we're looking for a fight. That's not the issue at all. But you cannot be fearful and say, oh, I can't do that. I can't mention anything like that, because then it could really cost us something. So God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not authored cowardice. But what has he done? He has given me absolute confidence. Now, that confidence is very clear. It is a power that is within us. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That's that dunamis. That's that dynamic power that is at work within us. And that dynamic power, it is productive energy that comes. And we see that in a very courageous step. And power is given not to misappropriate for yourself, but to accomplish things for him. God has given you that internal dynamic power that is in the person of the Holy Spirit. Remember God's Holy Spirit. You are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. And so you have not the aspect of fear, but you have that faith that is driving you. And we could see case after case throughout the Bible. And if you want a good study for yourself this summer, a good chapter to memorize, memorize Hebrews chapter 11. Because you will see examples of compassion and courage, compassion and courage, compassion and courage. You find a love for God and a love for the lost, and you will find courageous people making steps of courageous faith that are in total obedience and submission to God. So the power is within us. Then secondly, he has not given us fear, but power and of love. So not only is there a power that is given that is like dynamite, it is a godly given love, a divine love is given to you. And that divine love, he has not given us power, a spirit of fear, but power and of love. And that compassion makes a difference. Perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John 4:17, 18, and 19. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torments. He who feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And a good passage for you to memorize, 1 John 4:17, 18, and 19, in light of this concentration. He has given us a confidence. He has given us a compassion. And that compassion gives us a security. And herein is our love made perfect. How do we know we have mature love? That we have boldness in the day of judgment. That is, when the time comes and you're facing God, you're going to have a boldness because of the finished work of Christ in your heart. And you will go with that compassion. I like that passage in Jude, and some having compassion making a difference. I really appreciated Pastor Phillips' message on Wednesday night in prayer meeting. And he preached on love from 1 John 3. And he used three examples from his dad's life. And I remember it very well. Dr. Jim Phillips, Pastor Bill Phillips' dad. And this man lived a life of love for the lost and for others. Always giving things away. And I appreciated Pastor Bill's candid spirit in this when he was a teenager and then an early college student. He said, I kind of looked at this kind of mockingly, that dad gave every easy come, easy go, he would say. And he said, Dad reminded me that everything we have was given to us by God. And we are. We do not clasp things. We hold things. In other words, they're in my hand. My hand is open. You can have it. If I'm like this, you're not getting to it. And I appreciated that mentality. He has given us the compassion. So a dynamic power that is there, a divine love that is there. So we see the confidence and the compassion, and then he has given us a sound mind. He has given us, and the word sound there actually is the word disciplined. He has given me a disciplined thought pattern. Thoughts are not here and over here, and because once you get a disciplined thinking pattern, you will be able to have God's mind. I love that Proverbs 15:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established. What am I doing this summer? Commit it to the Lord. And you know what you'll have? You'll have disciplined thinking patterns. Properly prioritized mind patterns. And that's one commentator had put that down as a properly prioritized mind. In other words, God will give you proper thinking. He will give you proper priorities in how you put these things together. And one writer put it as the sanity of saintliness. You will be thinking sanely. Wasn't it interesting that the maniac of Gadara, after the demons were cast out, he sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And that was a pattern of right thinking. He was no longer thinking crazy. He was no longer thinking in disheveled thoughts. He was thinking very disciplined thought patterns. and the dream world was gone and reality was there, but God gave him clear thinking for the reality of all of these things. And 1 Timothy 3:2, be sober, sober-minded, looking for these things. So God hasn't given fear, but he has given confidence. He has given compassion, and he has given concentration as you step it, as you go from there. So as you go in your summer plans, make sure that you keep the word foremost. You keep prayer foremost. You do not step in fear. You step in faith. And you rest in God's pattern. Some of you are going to be making long flights. Somebody asked me, are you afraid to fly? I said, no, I'm afraid of getting to the airport. If I can make it from here to 141, that's major step one. If I can get from 141 to the airport, that's major step two. Once you get in the air, you're safe. Wouldn't you agree? These people driving by Braille on 141, you keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. And people drive by Braille on these side roads. You look at the cars on campus. They weren't scratched by kids jealous that you had such a nice car. You glanced off something. Whoop, turn that way. I saw on the news last night, some guy was pulled over. He had not had a driver's license since 1959. So the police officer said, do you realize your license, the last one you've had is 59? That wasn't half of it. He was legally blind. So how do you drive? But you do have to look at these things realistically. And as you're looking at summer plans, keep your eyes focused on God. Don't let fear control you, because fear will destroy you. Actually, fear is crippling. That's my own testimony. My fear kept me from making steps of faith before I surrendered to God's control. My fears were actually crippling when it came to any type of public service. And I had to surrender those for God's cause.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on fear. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.